Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Tommy, in this podcast, we're going to answer the age-old question, what's better off-road, a car or a truck? And how are we going to do that?
Well, we're going to talk about our latest off-road adventure.
Yeah, we actually are lucky enough to have three of the most off-road ready trucks and three of the most off-road ready vehicles, well, cars, SUVs, and we decided to put them to the test. And what did we do?
We took them off-road, and we should preface this by saying truck versus body-on-frame SUV that happens to be off-road worthy is not as catchy as truck versus car, so that's why we're referring to them as cars, but you kind of get the idea.
Yeah, we didn't like take the Raptor and put it up against a Renegade.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been interesting, but no, we chose three proper SUVs that are ready to tackle the trail.
Yeah, and we got the whole team together. It was logistically, very difficult. Drove them all the way to Moab, Utah, and had them take on some of the most iconic trails in America, and came up with a winner. And that first video in that series is being published this weekend over at TFL Off-Road, but we're going to give away the plot. We're going to tell you what happened in this podcast. We're going to tell you how we broke up and how we scored the trucks, and we're just going to delve deep into some of the best and most off-road ready vehicles right after the open. Congratulations, you have now tuned into TFL Talk, where we discuss everything automotive, whether it's cars or trucks. This is the one place where you can be sure to get independent and honest reviews. Let's get back to the show right now. All right, Tommy, let's start with how we decided to do this and what are the contestants.
Well, on the SUV side of it, we had the Toyota 4Runner, the new Land Rover Defender, and the Toyota FJ Cruiser.
Yeah, so luckily we had those in our fleet, and we thought, well, we've got three cars, so let's match them up with three trucks. What are the three trucks?
The three trucks were the 2020 F-150 Raptor, the 2021, right, Ram 1500 TRX, and the 2020 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon.
Yeah, and so before we ever hit the road, we of course had to kind of do some numbers and figure out, at least on paper, which of these vehicles should be the best. Now, obviously there are a number of ways we could go. You know, we could take them off-road and we can see which one performs the best, but you know, more importantly than that, in order to make it a valid test, we had to decide on criteria that you would use to judge, you know, a vehicle that you were buying. So it's not just as simple as, hey, let's take them up and over an obstacle and see which one rolls over and which one doesn't, right? It's much more complicated and I think scientific than that. So let's talk about what we first did on paper. And there was a clear winner among all these vehicles, and a surprising one at that. So let's kind of talk about the criteria. First, we decided that fuel economy is important.
Yeah, because when you're going off-road, and specifically the new trend of going off-road for long distances, like overlanding, you want a vehicle that's not going to suck its tank dry immediately. So fuel economy was something we took into consideration, even though it's kind of funny to think about when deciding the best off-roader. I think it is always a valid concern.
Yeah, and the way that we decided to do it was to assign, well, we had six vehicles, so we assigned 6 points. So the vehicle with the best EPA fuel economy got 6 points. And the next one got 5, and the worst one got 1 point, right? So that's how you assign the points. It's relatively straightforward. I think it's no surprise that the TRX did not do well.
In the fuel economy, no, not at all.
But surprisingly, the Defender did really well. It's a 400 horsepower V6 hybrid, and it gets actually pretty good fuel economy.
Yeah, it's amazing that it was the highest of the group, even better than the FJ Cruiser, which was pretty small.
So on paper and fuel economy, the Defender one. So let's keep going and talk about what else we judged on paper. So the next one that's, I think, very important, especially if you're overlanding, is payload.
Something that a lot of people overlook, but it's basically a measure of how much the vehicle can carry, how many accessories you can put on it, how many people you can hold, how much stuff you can put in the back. So payload is huge, and let's see which one won that one.
I know which one won that one.
Is also the Land Rover, right?
Exactly, yeah, because unbelievably the Land Rover has something like 1,800 pounds of payload, whereas both the Raptor, which you would think has a lot of payload, and the TRX have barely, well, the Raptor, I think, has barely 1,000 pounds of payload. For a pickup truck, that's pretty bad. And payload has to do with not just, you know, the size of the engine, but it has to do with the shocks and the springs and the suspension, right? And the problem with both the Raptor and the TRX, which has more, by the way, is the fact that they squat a lot because they've got this very soft off-roady suspension, so they're not great at putting a lot of stuff into them. And payload also affects towing.
Yes, towing capacity was on there as well because, once again, with the trend of overlanding, there's a lot of people that want to tow little campers and little off-road rigs behind them. So we included that, and I think the Land Rover was the best tower as well.
Yeah, once again, you know, it's crazy because you would think that a full-size pickup truck would be a much better towing rig, but because tongue weight, it has to do with payload, both the TRX and the Raptor are limited to some extent. The TRX tows 8,000. The Raptor tows 8,000 pounds and the TRX does 100 pounds better, which is 8,100, but the Defender actually tows more than that. And then, of course, the FJ the lifted 4Runner, don't tow that much.
So the 4Runner we had was actually a little bit modified by our friends over at Toytech. So ideally, we would have had a stock one, but it actually kind of worked out because its direct rival, the Gladiator, was also a little bit modified. So it was a fun comparison. But yeah, that 4Runner was not going to tow much. And then, of course, we had ORI and value. Those are the two other categories.
Yeah, so ORI is the TFL Off-Road Index. And, let me just go back to something you said. So we did have a modified truck and we did have a modified car, the 4Runner, and we thought that was fair, right? Because we wanted to not just compare two modified vehicles in this off-road test, because a lot of people do that, right? They lift them. But we also wanted to have one of each, a truck and a car. So that actually worked out really well too. So ORI is a scale that we have when we assign points to things like approach angle, departure angle, locking differentials,
ground clearance. And it's always out of 100, so we have a 100-point scale. It's the same every time. And then we just look at the vehicle's features and its capabilities, and we rank them from 0 to 100 based on all those criteria you just mentioned. And then we, of course, plug them into our little table here. And what scored the highest on the ORI?
Do you have that number?
Yeah, it was the Gladiator, the Jeep. Yep, the Jeep had the highest ORI score.
Okay. Keep in mind, it's lifted with 35s.
Yeah, but even stock, I think it was one of the highest because it's got three lockers from the factory. I mean, the Jeep is a little bit modified. It's got just like a little lift and slightly bigger tires, and that's going to be the main thing that will affect its off-road capability. But pretty much every Gladiator you're going to see is going to be specced out similarly.
And so it also has, you know, front, rear, and center locker. And I think it's the only one of the group that had a disconnectable sway bar.
Yep, that's exactly right. So that was by far the best at the ORI. And then the Defender scored really well too, not because of its lockers, it only has a center, but because the approach, departure, and breakover angles are so incredible that just really boosted it up on the scoring tables.
Yeah, and you should explain that. Why are they so incredible?
Because the wheels are way at the corners.
No, because it has air suspension.
Well,
it can lift itself up, which increases the approach, departure, and breakover angle.
But if I put air suspension on a train, it's going to have pretty bad.
Right, but that's approach, why. I mean, if it was standard, the departure and approach wouldn't be that good. But when you actually lift it, it does really well. Plus, actually, it has already great built-in departure and approach angles just from from its design.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the coolest rig that we had, I thought, was the 4Runner, and that was done by our friends at Toytech. So that had a pretty significant modification to it. That was like a $70,000 rig, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it still had its original.
Or maybe more, maybe 100,000.
It still had
no.
They said it came in at about 70 when it was all said and done. It was supercharged. It had a lift on it, different control arms. It had bigger wheels and tires.
I think it was more, dude. Because
no, it was 70. I remember it.
Because so they supercharged it, which is expensive.
Andre said it was the same price as the Gladiator.
Okay.
And the Gladiator comes in at about 70 when it's all said and done.
It also had really high tech. aftermarket parts, so we can't ignore that. Like the bumper, rear bumper itself was almost $4,000 because it was all aluminum, right?
Yep.
These were not the typical like welded steel parts. These were high-end aluminum parts, which is what you want because you want that rigidity and you want the strength of the aftermarket bumper, but you don't want the 200 pounds of steel. So if you go aluminum, you get both, except it gets very expensive. So an aluminum front bumper, aluminum rear bumper, winch, supercharger, King suspension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really high-end.
Yeah, high-end stuff. It was, you know, top-shelf stuff all along.
Not super high off the ground, though. It was only running 33s, so it was still one of the more tame tire setups in the group, which was interesting. But yeah, it was really well done up by the guys over at Toy Tech. So,
and then perhaps the most important criteria on paper, of course, is value, or in other words, how much you pay for it.
Right, and for that, our FJ Cruiser won, because it was a $33,000 vehicle. It's 7 years old now, and it's got 50,000 miles. And then the worst on the value spectrum was a TRX, because even if you account for all the options in the F4Runner and the Gladiator, the TRX still was the most expensive.
So Tommy, so on paper, the Defender one, but I can hear the people out there in the audience screaming, what about reliability?
Yes, so we didn't include that as a just the numbers in that category, because it's really hard to know for sure the long-term reliability of a vehicle, because we haven't owned the vehicles the same amount of time, and the one we've owned the longest has only been like a year and a half.
Well,
of the group.
I think they're screaming about not the other vehicles. I think they're specifically screaming about
the Defender.
You should kind of go into what, you know, this is our third Defender.
Yeah, I mean, we have had a problem with the first one, which resulted in the engine being replaced. The second one, we didn't know because the dealership cut through the wiring harness.
Yeah.
And the third one has been good.
Yeah, third one has been fine. And that's why we bought it, because, hey, we want to keep it for a year. We want to put miles on it. We want to take it off-road. We want to find out exactly, you know, if you do end up buying one and or two or three, how reliable they end up being. So this is a test of off-road worthiness. It is not a test of longevity, dependability. It is a test of how good a vehicle is off-road from the factory. So please save your comments. We're aware of what the story is behind the Defender, and enjoy, you know, the test that we're doing and not the test that we're not.
But luckily, we got to throw away all the numbers, because you don't drive vehicles on paper, you drive them on the dirt.
Yep, so we gathered together our entire team, basically six vehicles, six drivers, and took it over to Moab, lined them up on fins and things, and then the next part we decided to do was, how do we compare them? Initially we thought, why don't we compare like car to truck, and just, you know, like compare the lifted truck to the lifted 4Runner to the lifted Gladiator, compare the Defender to the TRX, compare the 4Runner, not the 4Runner, the FJ to the Raptor, and then we thought, you know what, let's do it a smarter way. Let's compare all the trucks and pick a winner, and let's compare all the cars or SUVs and pick a winner, and then pick, you know, a champion from the champions.
That's what we did?
And that's what we did. So let's talk about that. So what do we do first? Do we take the trucks out first or the SUVs?
It was such a crazy day. I don't even
remember. Come on. We took the cars out first.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay. So we I guess we took out the...
It was a lot of work.
It was, yes. It was a really busy day. So I guess we took out the SUVs first onto the trail.
Exactly.
And I was in the Toyota 4Runner.
Yep.
And then you were in the Defender, I think.
I was in the Defender.
And then Andre was in the FJ Cruiser.
Yeah. Plus, we didn't have six drivers, so we had too much.
Yeah, we did, but it would have been impossible.
We wouldn't have six people who are actually, you know,
yeah,
like,
with the videographers.
Like reviewers, yeah, with the videographers.
Yeah.
Unless you want videographers reviewing, which some do, but nevertheless, we decided to have three versus three. We hit the trail, and immediately one thing became apparent.
What was that?
You're the best driver of the group.
That's not true at all. No, that was the only one that had the big scrape in the 4Runner, which we'll talk about.
So talk to me about what did you think of the 4Runner?
I loved it.
Okay.
So I think the 4Runner is still one of the best new 4x4s on the market. It's old, so this is the fifth generation of the 4Runner. I think it came out in 2010 or 2011. Someone will let me know in the comments below. But it still is a very, very good vehicle. Even bone stock out of the box, it'll go places you just wouldn't believe.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love the 4Runner, and I always forget how good it is until I get behind the wheel of the thing. It's one of those, like, you just don't remember how competent and how it fits, like, me personally, right? So it's like an old friend, right? You just immediately comes to hand. Everything is where it's supposed to be. all the stuff that you want an off-roader to do that also can go on-road. It does, so it's body on frame, it's got, you know, locking rear differential, it's got good visibility, and it's about the right size too, you know? I mean, size matters.
Yeah, but in this case, the smaller is probably the better when you're out rock crawling.
I think smaller is always better.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's just more maneuverable. You can bring it more places. It's just overall a so much easier thing to wheel.
Not cooler, but better.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about when we get to the trucks, but the big trucks were much, much harder on the trail. Yeah, but so the 4Runner, though, is a good balance of size and space because you still have a lot of capacity behind the second row.
Yeah.
A lot of capacity. And it's got the 4-liter V6, which is a proven engine. This one had the supercharger. I haven't driven a supercharged one. It honestly doesn't feel that different than the NA version, at least with the kind of the customizations this one had. It drives a little bit like the normally aspirated ones or the naturally aspirated ones until you get into the really high RPMs. So above like 4,000, then that supercharger starts to sing and you really start cooking down the road. But it's still hindered by the 5-speed automatic, which is one of its downfalls. It's also really thirsty, so every 4Runner is really thirsty. But some of the tech is cool, so it's got A-Track, it's got the crawl control. Do you want to explain what crawl control is?
Yeah, basically it's like off-road cruise control.
That's right, yeah. I mean, that's a good way to explain it.
Yeah.
You turn a knob, it sets a speed, either half a mile an hour or 3 miles an hour or five, and then you just drive, and the thing goes, and it just crawls you over anything.
So it did really well. The next one that did really well, of course, was the FJ. Now, we have an FJ. They still build them around the world. They don't build them anymore in America, or they don't sell them anymore in America. Ours is a 2014 with 60,000 miles. People love them. Basically, it's got the same running gear as a 4Runner, except it's got a shorter wheelbase, which gives it a better breakover angle.
Yeah, this is a really good ride. So I did a little bit of time behind the wheel of the FJ Cruiser.
Yep.
Off-road, it's got a really squishy ride. And once again, nice and small, so it's easy to maneuver. It does have a rear locker. Ours has a rear locker. Like you mentioned, underneath, it's very similar to a 4Runner, 5-speed automatic 4-liter.
And keep in mind, all these vehicles had off-road AT tires.
Yeah.
All-terrains, yeah. So they were different tires, obviously, but we weren't judging the tires. We made sure that they all had off-road tires, so they all had, you know, give or take, the same amount of grippishness.
I think the FJ has Coopers on it, if I remember
right.
Yeah,
it has Coopers, yeah.
Yeah, they were great. I really liked them. Really good off-road. I was surprised. First time I've ever used Coopers, but they were easy to air down, and they had a lot of grip.
And we did air down, and the biggest problem with the FJ is it's a little bit style over substance, right? It's got this really cool design. I still am baffled why Toyota stopped selling it just when the market for off-roaders became red hot. I mean, like red, scorching hot. They decided, you know what, we're going to stop selling it. Don't understand it. Same thing with Xterra. You know, it seems like you guys made that decision not here in America where most of them are sold, but in Japan. Really not, timing-wise, a great decision, but so be it. You know, we paid $33,000 for ours. It had 60,000 miles, and it was a six-year-old truck, and that just shows you how much people want those vehicles. But the visibility out of it is horrendous.
Yeah, very bad.
When you're off-roading, rock crawling, it's horrendous.
It's got these really, like, squinty windows. So both the front and the side windows are pretty narrow, and they're pretty low. It's hard to tell like when the front wheels are going to actually hit the obstacle. So if you're going over a ledge or if you're crawling up a hill, you really just have to kind of guess and pray and hopefully have a spotter with really long arms so you can see what they're pointing at. So that is its big downfall. But apart from that, I mean, if you can deal with that, it's very good.
Yeah, the other thing that makes it kind of fun and good off-road is it's got these clamshell doors, but everything in ours is not fancy, right? It's just very basic, big old knobs. Basic like rubber mats.
That's true. Yeah, it's got rubber floor, so you can just like squirt it out.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Vinyl, just regular cloth seats. And in Moab, I don't know if you guys have been, but everything gets covered in this red dust. Mm-hmm. And if you have a very nice vehicle, it gets really dirty inside and out. And this one, feels natural to get dirty. You just don't care, right? It's just you can just go and squirt it out. It's good.
I don't know what that seat material is because you said vinyl cloth.
I don't. I think
which
it's
doesn't
cloth.
Make sense.
Yeah.
I think it's like that's a good way of describing it. It's like a perfect in between like a vinyl, like a fake rubber, and a cloth. It's almost like a neoprene. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's like the Defender stuff. That's also neoprene.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. And it's got this little gauge pod on the dash.
Yeah, the little binnacle.
With a little inclinometer, so it tells you side
tilt. Which we maxed out. You maxed out.
Yeah, I did. We hit it way past like the 30 degrees on the inclines and the declines. So it was really steep.
Yeah, it was really steep. But you know, it was the one that felt just really natural out there. And it's, you know, I mean, there's that saying, right? The more off-road worthy something is directly correlates to how much you pay for it. And even though we did pay a lot for it, compared to the other vehicles, it was a bargain.
To be fair, there are a couple big drawbacks on it. It doesn't carry much.
So doesn't tow much.
No, it does not tow much. So if you're looking at, you know, crossing a long distance off-road.
And yes, we know it's dependable.
It's very dependable, very good, very, very solid, but not very good for families.
No.
You can't open the rear windows at all. I think they're fixed in place.
Yeah.
And it's not the most practical of the group.
And it's thirsty.
It's a very remarkably unfuel efficient.
Remarkably yeah. thirsty car, but remarkably dependable car. And then there was the one that I was driving, which is the Defender. And like I said, on paper, that was the best. So that was, you know, we have a $70,000 Defender. It's very, I wouldn't say precious, but when you have a brand new car and you've got, unfortunately, the one we spec'd, okay, was like the basic one, right? Everything you need, nothing you don't. Because that's what we wanted. So we had the rear locker, we had the Steelies, we had the cloth seats. And then by the time we got to the third one, honestly, I didn't want the four-cylinder anymore, and Land Rover offered to, at no additional charge, give us the six, so we took it. I'm actually very happy with the six-cylinder, and I'm not saying that because we got upgraded, I'm saying that just because it's kind of the sweet spot, right? I think the four was enough power, but having 400 horsepower, especially on the highway, is really nice, but yet it's not like crazy, like they just announced that they're doing a V8 and putting it in the 90, which is a short wheelbase one. I mean, that's, you know, that's G-Wagon kind of power, which you don't need off-road. But I was really worried about it because I felt like it was going to be very precious and very delicate, and, you know, you didn't want to get it dirty, but right away, the interior is really good, right? It's really functional.
Yes, I agree. I mean, it looks nice. It's also, floor mats are all rubber too, which is also cool, so super easy to wipe out. That's a good thing.
Our floor mats are cloth, but underneath it's all rubber.
Yeah, sorry, I should say the floors are made out of rubber. The actual floor itself is a rubber.
And you can get rubber floor mats. We had it in the first one. This one could have cloth ones. Doesn't really matter. You know, we didn't have any of the, you know, really off-road, you know, adventure package stuff. So we don't have like the air compressor in the back, locking rear diff. But Land Rover did invent terrain management, Tommy. They were the first, and it works really well, even without the locking diff.
When you put it in low range and select like rock crawl mode, the wheel speed sensors and the brakes are phenomenal. I mean, it's just incredible how well it distributes torque to the wheels that have traction. You know, so typically like on a normal vehicle, if you get two opposite ends of the car off the ground, two opposite wheels, you know, in the air, what'll happen is you have to apply throttle, then those wheels will spin up, and then the computer will think, and then it'll start applying brakes gently, and then you'll start lurching, and then it'll finally grab down. The Defender, like the second it lifts a wheel, like bam, it locks it up. Just immediately, and it sends power to the wheel with traction.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe it is out of the three trucks, even the lifted 4Runner, it was by far the most like naturally athletic with the most off-road ability.
I disagree with that strongly.
Fine.
Okay, so I will give it a lot of credit. Right. The approach and departure angles were so good in the off-road height. It was the only one of the vehicles that didn't scrape on anything.
And look, in the past, and I've been on a lot of Land Rover trips, like in the Velar, you know, I went Joshua Tree there, and we were in the off-road height, and what ends up happening is when you jack the vehicle up all the way, you lose all suspension travel, and it becomes like, you know, goat cart hard, right? It becomes, there's no suspension. And actually, on the Velar trip, my back got so jacked from that I could not walk afterwards because basically you have no give. But what Land Rover did now is they actually gave it two sets of air springs, right? So there's the air springs, the bags, and there's another set of bags on top. So you still have suspension left when you jack it up to its, you know, off-road height. Then there's also an Uber off-road height, which we never actually had to use.
It
like a water fording.
It's still pretty firm in its off-road
height. You know, with my back, Tommy, I would be like, hey, it's bone breaking and jarring.
You should have tried that FJ Cruiser computer.
Yeah, FJ Cruiser was sweet.
So the air suspension is magic because you can really jack yourself over a lot of things. And as I was saying, it was the only one that didn't scrape its hitch on anything or its rear end.
Yeah,
it didn't scrape its front end. It didn't scrape anything underneath.
So we did these obstacles that we have set up on fins and things in the past that we've named ourselves because they represent different ways of testing vehicles. So for instance, there's frame bender, right, which is this ledge that you have to go over, and if you don't have enough break over, you will hit the frame on this and you'll hit it pretty hard.
Right.
And then there is One Tree Hill, which is a test of traction. You have to go up and over One Tree Hill without losing traction. Then there is Ass Scratcher, which basically, you know, because of how steep the departure angle is, you will hit the back of the vehicle. And the Land Rover hit nothing whatsoever, struggled on none of those. Just walk through the course.
It has a monster flaw.
Which
major
is?
Flaw. The same thing that makes it so good, the air suspension, really hinders it. Because when you're looking at off-road ability, one of the most important things when you're off-road going over big obstacles, big undulations in the trail, is the ability for the vehicle to keep all four wheels on the ground. Because if you're lifting wheels off the ground, you're losing traction. If you're lifting wheels off the ground, you're potentially putting the vehicle off kilter, potentially leading to a rollover incident. You really want to maintain all wheels on the ground. And the best case of this is a solid axle. It sucks on the road, but it's like a teeter-totter. When one wheel lifts, it forces the other one down. When you get to independent suspension, you'll lose a lot of that capability.
But all these cars, trucks are independent suspension,
no,
right?
They aren't.
Both Toyotas.
No.
The front.
Yeah, but not the back.
Right.
The back is solid axle,
but
and
the
Jeep
are.
Is front and rear solid
right.
axle.
Right, the Jeep is the track.
But
classic.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
When you jack that suspension up, there is like almost zero suspension travel. Almost none. So that thing will lift up a leg every single time you put it on like a big pebble. There's no down travel. The thing's always lifting up wheels. Luckily, the terrain response can cope with it, but it's very unsettling because if you get the thing even a little bit off kilter, bam, lift up a wheel. If you put it on a rock even a little bit too high, bam, immediately lift up the wheel.
So,
it's really alarming. It's alarming.
So I never felt like I was in any point where I, you know, that bunt clenchiness, like I was going to roll it. Keep in mind, it is a three row, large, long vehicle, you know, relatively heavy. I felt like it was very athletic, and it was the only vehicle out of those three, actually out of all six, that never scraped or hit or had any issues with any of the obstacles.
This trail was like...
That was eye-opening for me.
This trail was like tailor-made for it, though.
It could be.
Because there's very few moments of articulation on our section of trail.
Look, we just didn't have... It's very hard for a small team to get six vehicles out there. Ideally, you'd like to do both, like desert running, which is what the trucks are designed for, and rock crawling. This test was basically, you know, driving it to Moab, so that's an on-road test, and then rock crawling or doing, you know, typical kind of Moab rock crawly stuff. So yeah, it did play to the Defender strengths, but on paper it was good, and in the real world it won that. Out of those three cars, we decided it was the best.
It was very impressive. I will give it that. And I will say as well, if you don't jack it all the way up, if you leave it in the normal height, the suspension does a much better job of being compliant and adapting to the terrain versus kind of fighting with the terrain. But then you lose that amazing ground clearance and that amazing approach and departure. So it's always a compromise with air suspension. It's not just the Defender, it's also pretty much every air suspension on the market. It's a Volkswagen Group's air suspension, it's Mercedes, it's just how it goes.
So after our first set of tests, we had a clear winner, which was the Defender, and now it was time to get lunch. No, it was time to go back on the trail again.
We did get lunch.
Yeah, we went to Milt's, that was fun. And it was time to get back on the trail, and this time take the trucks. So let's talk about the trucks. So we have, of course, the two most off-road worthy trucks out there, the Raptor and the TRX, with the TRX having, you know, way too much horsepower for this test. So the horsepower didn't even come into play.
Yep.
There is a difference between the two. The biggest difference to me is that the TRX is all-wheel drive. You can't put it in two-wheel drive, whereas the Raptor has a traditional two-high, four-high, four-low. The TRX is only four-high and four-low.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It isn't.
It doesn't have two-high.
No, it's got three modes. So the Raptor has four.
Four, yeah.
The Raptor has two-high,
four-high,
four-low. And four auto.
And four auto. Yeah.
So in four auto, I think how it works is it's rear wheel drive till it senses slip, and then it goes into four wheel drive.
Right.
The TRX has three
four,
modes.
Four auto.
It has four auto, which is driving around
right.
every day. Four high if you want to lock the front and the rear drive shafts together.
Right.
And four low, which is what we used out on the trail.
Yep.
But there's no two high, so you can't do med donuts in the TRX.
But the biggest difference is it's always all wheel drive.
And the other big difference between the two is that the Raptor has a Torsen, yeah. Limited slip front differential.
Whereas the TRX is, it's not open, but it's using basically.
Yeah, it uses wheel speed sensors.
Wheel speed sensor to brake the wheel that's spinning.
Yeah.
The Raptor's better in that regard.
Yeah, it is better. Yeah, and they both have a lot of ground clearance. The Raptor and the TRX both have a electronically selectable rear differential lock, yep. which is good.
And they're all, actually all three trucks were rolling on 35s because the Gladiator had upgraded.
Yep, they were all on 35-inch Dull tires. Different tires though. So yeah. the Raptor uses a KO2. The Gladiator uses a KM3. KO2 is an all-terrain. KM3 is a mud-terrain. And then the TRX is this new tire.
Yeah.
I think it's a Goodyear, I want to say.
Can you see it? It's sitting out there.
Oh, it is right there. I think it's a Goodyear. Pretty sure.
Anyway, the one, of course, that was much more suited to this course was the Gladiator, just because it had front, rear, center locker plus disconnectable sway bar.
Well, it doesn't really have a center locker. It has two high, four high, four low.
Right. And but when it locks the center when you put it in four low.
Yeah, when you put it in four low, it quote unquote.
So locks. I was in the TRX. You were in.
The Gladiator.
And Andre was in the Raptor.
Yes, uh-huh.
And once again, the Raptor, is outgunned by the TRX to the tune of 252 more horsepower.
And none of that mattered, though.
Yeah, it's got a V8 versus a twin-turbo V6, supercharged V8, of course. None of that mattered because we were in four low, so it didn't really come into play. And let's face it, the Raptor and the TRX did remarkably well for basically being desert runner pre-runners, right? Meant to go quickly across the Baja Peninsula. But they struggled. They're just huge, massive trucks. And unfortunately, this is what I thought would happen, and it did happen. On Ass Scratcher, we pancaked, or at least scratched up significantly, the tailpipes, because for some unbeknownst reason, both tailpipes stick out the back and now are the lowest thing. So when you hit on the departure angle, you're basically putting all the weight of the vehicle on the exhaust pipes. Yes. So they look cool, but they're not great.
It's not a great design.
No, I mean, it's not.
You'd want to tuck them out of the way. You know, you could route them underneath the truck. You could even route them out the side behind the wheel.
Yeah, like the old Raptor. The first one had, you know, the dual pipes coming out behind the rear wheel, which would mean that the tow hitch was the lowest thing. But no, it's the exhaust pipes.
Yeah, and the interesting thing was the Raptor kind of squished them. They kind of went from circles to ovals.
Yeah.
But the TRX hit so hard that it squished the bottom of it, and then it forced the pipe up into the bumper.
Which was hot. The pipe was hot, which then started to melt the bumper.
Yeah, and then the pipe also has a nice dent in it on the top of it, too, from making contact with the bumper.
And so does the plastic bumper from the heat of the pipe.
Like you said, if we had more time, if we had more resources for this trip, it would, because we put a lot into it, but it would have been fun to take them out and do some high-speed stuff. That's really where they would have shown so much more. But a lot of people don't have access to that. Like here in Colorado, there's not really such a thing as desert running. There's a little bit of it, but not really.
And let's talk about the other things. I have to say there is one vehicle that's worse looking out than the FJ, and that is the TRX. It's got this massive hood. And basically, you don't know what's in front of you. And because, you know, we bought the one with the entry package. We didn't get the front-facing camera. The Raptor was completely kitted out. So they both cost $77,000, whereas the Raptor had, you know, all the bells and whistles, and the TRX didn't. But you cannot see what's in front of the TRX. And it's a little terrifying. When you're going, like, straight up, I mean, like, at a 30-degree angle, all you see is blue sky. You have no idea what's in front of you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it is a problem. It's just too wide. I mean, like, in something like the FJ Cruiser or the Gladiator, if you're looking at a challenging obstacle. You have multiple lines, right? You can take the right line, you can take the left line, maybe you could straddle them. If you're in a Raptor or a TRX, you basically have one line, you have the up, right? You gotta go whatever is in front of you because it's just so wide, it's hard to navigate around an obstacle. You're basically going through everything, which makes it more stressful.
Yeah, and on like Frame Bender, of course, you know, that's a very steep descent that with a pretty significant ledge. You know, on video it doesn't look as, it's funny because I was watching a video you just did and you're like, that looks really easy. But then when you're there, you're like, holy cow, I can't even walk down this thing without falling.
Right.
It's
yeah,
so
that's
steep.
True.
But the trucks are heavy too.
Very heavy. Yeah, they're just cumbersome. They're very good. So if you lock up the rear end, I mean, they are very good, especially when you air them down. They also have a huge amount of ground clearance, which is a great thing. I think the Raptor has side steps, right?
Yeah, it comes from the factory side steps. The TRX, you got to order them.
Yes, and side steps aren't great because they offer protection.
Well, they're great if you're short and getting in and out of it.
Yeah, but if you hit them on a rock, they will protect the truck once.
Yes.
And then they'll be so bent out of shape that you got to get new ones. Yeah. It's not like a rock rail. Whereas the TRX, ours doesn't have any actually equipped. But I think you can get a Mopar style one. I remember this. So they do one for the side of the TRX.
Yeah.
Do you remember how much weight it holds? It takes like half of the truck's weight. It's not rated to take the whole thing, like a real rock rail.
Yeah, you rock,
yeah.
But you know, for being desert racing, okay, all right, that's the other thing. All right, we need to talk about this, Tommy. So, of course, if you guys watch some of the YouTube channels, you'll know that and I'm very proud of this, so I'll repeat it again. We were the first to get our TRX. I flew to Detroit, picked it up, and then there was another person who got it pretty quickly, and that person was, of course, Street Speed. And the first thing he did was, besides the video, was jump it, and then he set it on fire. And I used to say, Tommy, when we started this, I could get views to a video if I, like, you know, set things on fire and drove them off a cliff, and that's kind of what Street Speed did with his. But there's a fundamental problem with these trucks, and that is, even though they say they're desert runners, right, or in other words, you know, like trophy trucks, they're not. They fly like lawn darts. The problem with both the Raptor and the TRX is that they have all this heavy metal in the nose, and unless you do kind of the right kind of a jump, they fly like lawn darts. They're not designed to be jumping trucks. If you look at a trophy truck, which I've actually been lucky enough to be in, it's a very small truck. It's smaller than you think, and the engine is behind you, right? Center of gravity is behind the driver, so it's very well balanced. So when it's in the air, it doesn't fly like a lawn dart. It actually tends to actually fly well. And so I think there's a misconception out there that somehow some people think that the TRX and the Raptor are like these desert running trophy trucks that, you know, have huge amounts of suspension travel. And while they do have big suspension, right, 3-inch Fox shocks, like you know, a real trophy truck will have something like 17 to 24 inches of suspension travel. That is like 8 times as much as a Raptor.
So they are,
I mean, like this much.
Are very, for a stock.
Compared to a stock truck, they're really good. But
right.
Compared to a trophy truck, it's like a whole different world.
Well, I mean, it is incredible what they can do on rutted out, you know, washboard, really nasty dirt roads.
Right.
I mean, you can really haul on them. But for example, so at the launch of the TRX, they actually gave us the opportunity to jump them.
Yep.
But you'd be surprised on how small of a jump it takes to max out the full-on travel. So they had it was around a trophy truck, basically race course, short course,
right.
And you'd hit a jump, and they're like, hit it at 35 miles an hour, and you'd hit it, and it might get like, I don't know, 18 inches of air.
Right.
But then if you hit it at 45, it would get like 24 inches of air, and then it would make a really bad like bong right as it slammed down on the bump stops.
Right.
It's just. The factory trucks are built to jump. You know, they will take a lot of abuse on dirt roads.
I mean, they will jump, not even the Baja runners, like the short course trucks.
Yeah.
They won't jump 18 inches. They'll jump 18 feet the air, not straight. I mean, in the air.
Yeah, I mean, these trucks are jumping like 10, 15 feet straight.
But they're only like maybe a foot or two off the air.
I mean, but a true race truck doesn't have to have airbags and Apple CarPlay and heated seats and heated cup holders and satellite navigation.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean.
It doesn't have to drive you to work.
Yeah. Yeah, all it does have to do is go really fast in a little course.
All right, and so let's talk about the other truck that we had, the Gladiator, which was very comfortable. I mean, the Gladiator's issue is that it's very long.
It is very long, yeah. But if you lift it and put on the big tires, it's vastly improved over its stock. Even with just a little bit of lift like this and even a slightly bigger tire, it's like night and day difference.
But if you're thinking it's a Wrangler with a bed...
right.
You're right, but off-road a Wrangler will be better just because this thing is long.
Yeah, we couldn't get a Wrangler for this test or a G-Wagon. We really wanted to do those.
Yeah, we couldn't. We tried, but we couldn't. So we had, you know, we had what we had.
And the Land Cruiser actually just left the fleet, but that's unfortunately dying anyways here in the States.
And, you know, I'm looking at this as the first time we're doing this, so next year we'll try to get
we'll try
six
to do better.
Different vehicles. Yeah.
It was still fun, though.
Yeah.
The Gladiator was the arguably the worst going to the trail because it is a little bit underpowered.
Steering is vague.
Its steering is vague, and it is pretty loud, and the seats are like church pews.
That's the biggest problem with the Gladiator is for some reason Jeep has designed these seats with no back support whatsoever. I have a bad back. I cannot actually, you know, cross country that thing. It's so bad, right?
Or butt support, or thigh support, or shoulder support.
I don't know what they did.
Or head support.
What the Jeep designers did with the seats, but they need to redesign them quickly.
But when you get the thing on a trail, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
There's just, it's lightweight relative to the other trucks. Low range is super low. You disconnect the sway bar, and I mean, it's just like
you don't get that weird head bob where you're going back and forth.
No, I mean the front end just becomes like jello.
And you've got the solid axle, so you can really twist those axles so that all four wheels stay in contact with the slick rock.
Plus, it was the only one of our stock group that are. I shouldn't say this. out of the factory, let me clarify, the Rubicon has rock rails from the factory,
yep.
which are side protection for the lower sills, basically. Even in the bed, right? It's got these little mini ones.
Yeah.
So you can just jam the thing into rocks constantly. It'll just take it. I mean, it's got front skid plate. It's got underbody skid plate, the rock rails. It's got just so much protection underneath. It's the least stressful off-road, the best visibility off-road, I would think.
Yeah, that straight-up windshield is great.
Yeah, I mean, the same things that kind of make it relatively rough on-road compared to its competition, like the axles and the vertical windshield. Make it amazing off-road. Incredible.
Yeah, and you don't need, you know, you said it was a little underpowered. It doesn't matter. We've got, you know, we've got the Pentastar. Keep in mind now, there are what now? I think 3 or 4 engine options maybe, and that's, you know, keeps expanding. So you've got the Pentastar, which is a classic V6, right?
No, not in the Gladiator. You only have 2 in the Gladiator.
Yeah, and you get the diesel.
Yeah, so in the Wrangler you have the 4 cylinders and the hybrids,
but the 4xe coming.
Yeah, and in the Gladiator you only have the V6 gas or the V6 diesel.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, it does have more engine choices than the Raptor or the TRX.
Yeah, for
unless
sure.
Unless you compare it to regular Ford F-150, then you got more engine choice. Anyway, we're going down a rabbit hole. You guys know that. So by far the Jeep was the best.
Yeah, I think so. The trucks, by far.
So now we had a winner in the cars and a winner in the trucks. So then we decided to pick a winner overall. And drumroll, tell me, what was that?
I don't remember.
Yes, you do remember.
What was it?
It was a Defender.
Oh, yes. I remember I was grumpy about it.
Yeah.
The
Defender won.
It did the best on our trail, because, and it was a tough trail. I have to give it a lot of credit. It was impressive.
It did the best on paper, it did the best on-road, and it did the best off-road. So, you know, if you take that as a whole, right, it was the least compromised out of all of them. And the most athletic on all three of those criteria.
But if you had to drive one down the Rubicon Trail, the Gladiator or the Defender?
Oh, Gladiator.
So then that begs the question, is the Defender actually the best? Because it's very impressive, but it does feel a little bit fragile. I think compared to something like the Gladiator or even like the FJ Cruiser, it just doesn't have the same level of protection underneath.
Right, but this is everything. You know, it's not just it's not,
right. When you factor in towing and
if I were to drive, you know, down Baja, I'd probably take, you know, one of the
right.
two trucks.
Yeah, but I know. That's a good point. Yeah.
But anyway, and then you know, we're really giving away the storyline here. But you can watch the first of those videos, the cars going off road at TFL Off Road. On Saturday, which is if you're listening to this on Friday, tomorrow if you're listening to it on Saturday, head on over to TFL Off-Road. If you listen to it later, it's over there. We picked the ones that we each would want. And guess which one I picked?
The Defender.
No.
What did you pick?
I picked you don't remember any of this?
This was like a week ago, Dad. I have the memory of a goldfish.
I picked the TRX.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I just think it has the most character. It's by far the most, you know, the most badass vehicle out there.
Yeah, it's by far the most home at the gas station.
I'm not saying it's the best off-road. I'm just saying that's the one, you know, because they're all about 70K. If you're going to spend 70K, that's the one that I would buy.
The TRX is an impressive truck, Dad, but it does use a remarkable amount of fuel.
And what did you pick?
I don't remember.
You picked the 4Runner.
That's right.
You don't remember what you picked.
No, I do remember. Yeah, I will say the TRX is, let's finish with the TRX here. It's very good.
Yep.
It's a very good truck. But it is hard to live with on a daily basis.
I don't think so. You have a hard time parking it. I have no issues parking it.
Well, I have very bad spatial awareness. Yeah. We live in a moderately sized town,
yeah.
right? Like there's 100,000 people that live in our city.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have it in Chicago.
Yeah, but even in our city.
Or LA, you'd have issues with
going parking. Go into our King Supers, which is like a Kroger
grocery
store.
New York is right out. But Phoenix,
hang on.
Houston,
hold
Dallas.
On. Now you're just saying city names. Going even to our local grocery store,
yeah.
getting that thing to squeeze through some of those little spots between the hippies and Subarus, right. it's a pain in the ass. It just doesn't fit. You can't take...
I look at them as vehicles I need to run over to get to where I'm going.
Yes, that's oh, I can run over the car. Yeah, that's how you end up in court. We all know that. Yeah, with points on your license. No, you have to consider that you're going to take this thing out to dinner, yeah. and you're going to take it to the Walmart, and in some cases, it just doesn't fit.
You know, it's always funny, like, I'll be driving down the road, and we live in Colorado, and if you come to Colorado, I was actually at the ski area at Keystone, I was watching all the vehicles come in to go park, right? And there was not one sedan among them. I sat there for like 5 minutes. It was SUV, SUV, truck, 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 SUV, SUV, crossover, crossover, right? Not one sedan.
There was also not a single Exxon Valdez tanker among them, and that's because you can't fit them in between the spots, and it would cost $400 to drive every 3 days.
Here is the burden of actually having a TRX at my disposal. You know, I hate when I'm driving down the road and somebody in a lifted pickup truck, and let's say I'm in our long-term, pick the smallest car we had, maybe like the little smart car, right? And I'm driving down 65 down the highway, and some guy in a lifted pickup truck decides that he's going to show me who's boss and just sticks his nose right in the back of my vehicle, right? And they do that. People do that. Let's face it. People here in Colorado do that. That's when I moan the fact that I'm not in the TRX, because in the TRX, you're the guy or gal out there with the biggest, baddest bat.
That is a fantastic argument. My counter argument is you won't even pull that thing into our studio. You make Zach do it because you hate squeezing it through the garage door. It's that paint. It's that big.
Yes, and that's the privilege of having Zach.
So if you have an employee named Zach who is exceptionally good at managing big ass strings through little ass holes.
It's big. So what? It's big.
Yeah, but
we live in Colorado. We're not in New York.
Colorado, I can't drive it down my favorite trails because it doesn't fit. It wouldn't fit down.
Like, we can't take it to like Cliffhanger 1.0 because it's
way too wide. Yeah, we wouldn't really want to do like the full Ironclads trail because it would be too narrow at the top.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the test we did was open, right? I mean, we did fins and things. It was all open.
This is how you drive a TRX on a trail in Colorado, right? It's 2% of the time looking out the window, 95% of the time looking at the mirrors, and the rest of the time, the last 3% is just staring at the fuel gauge. That is the life of off-roading a TRX in Colorado.
Look, if I took my ego out of it, the vehicle that I would buy for an everyday driver would be the Defender, just because it has that bandwidth, so you can take it off-road. And I'll be very happy to have it as my daily driver. It also has, you know, the rear seat, so if you have more than five people, you can throw people in the back. It's got a lot of room. Once again, reliability is not in this equation. I'm old enough now and lucky enough to actually be able to have multiple vehicles. And yes, the Defender is a bit of a toy, right? So it's great. You know, if you want to go downtown Denver and maybe go to a Rockies game, it's going to be an issue parking it. Yes, I give that to you, and you will have to stop and fill it up often. But as just a pure, fun, vehicle that you lust after, that is by far the most lustworthy. And because of that, it is the one that I would buy.
All right, so here are my reasonings for a long, in-depth off-road trip. Here's what I would take.
Right.
Wouldn't take the Gladiator because it's like sitting on a park bench.
Yep.
Wouldn't take the TRX because you would get stuck at the Conoco all the time.
Yes.
Wouldn't take the Raptor because it sounds like a hairdryer.
Yes.
Wouldn't take the FJ Cruiser because it's like driving a mailbox looking through a slit.
Yes.
Wouldn't take the Defender because it's a Defender.
Okay. All right. What does that mean?
You know very well what that means. All right. I would take the Forerunner. It's the best all around. It carries a lot. It's unfuel efficient, but not horrible. It's good on the road. It's excellent off road, and it will last through eternity.
So would you take the lifted one that you were driving, or just like a TRD Pro or an off road?
No, I would take a bone stock TRD off road. The lifted one's amazing, but it's just so overkill.
Right.
Like, you don't need that supercharger.
Okay.
You just don't buy the TRD Pro because that's kind of a waste of money.
And it doesn't have that silly Tacoma 3.5 liter, which, you know, never can figure out what gear it wants to be in.
For some reason, the 4 liter sounds better than the 3.5 liter.
The 4 liter
is
better. I agree. It's better. I don't know what they did, but the four liter is a wonderful power plant.
It even sounds better than the Raptor, which is funny.
Sound better than the Raptor.
Yep. So it sounds better than the Raptor.
Doesn't perform better.
No, it doesn't perform better. Sounds better. It's easier to see out of than the FJ Cruiser. Right. It's going to be a heck of a lot more reliable.
And you'll see yourself coming and going every 5 feet.
That's fine. There's a reason people buy so many of them.
Yeah.
More reliable than the Defender. More comfortable than the Gladiator. Doesn't use much gas as a TRX, still holds a lot, tow's pretty good, that's the one I'd have.
And it's affordable.
Yeah, compared to the group, yeah, it's pretty affordable.
Yeah, I agree. And, it's got parts that are available everywhere.
I might even take it over the new Wrangler. I think the current Wrangler.
Really?
I think in a lot of ways, it's better. Because I love the Wrangler and it's fun taking the roof off, but I don't do it that often. And it's just so much better in the city and on the highway in the Wrangler.
Well, there you guys have it. We gave away the plot of the video that's over at TFL Off-Road, at least the first part. We broke that, of course, into two parts, the trucks and the cars. Head on over if you want to see all this testing and see actually what we did, so we're not just listening to it. As always, Tommy, really want to thank you guys for watching. And we'll do it again next year. That was a heavy lift.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for staying tuned, because this was a fun one to make.
Yep. See you guys next time. Ciao.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.